Forget it.
Forget it. So I have something to ask you about, sort of a little advice conundrum.
Oh, I like being asked for advice. It strokes my ego just a little bit. Doesn't it feel good when someone asks for your opinion?
Of course. And yeah, so I just want to know, like, if this happened to you, like, what would you do? So say that you found a box of your grandmother's sex toys when you were cleaning out her house after she had moved.
Oh.
Is there...
I love this. Yep.
So that's the situation. Also asking for a friend.
Sure.
Is there a way to get them back to her? Like, should one get them back to her? Is she missing them? Is there a way to discreetly return? Like, what's the move? I don't know.
Is there other stuff that, like, perhaps she might need?
Honestly, no, but maybe there could be, like, a box of things that were gathered together that were not necessary, and maybe, like, slip in that other box and be like,
that's,
hey,
like, what I would do, and be like, hey, like, you know, I, like, just that this was, like, oh, here's some stuff that was, like, somewhere in the house, and, like, I don't know, like, if, I don't know if it was something you wanted to go through, and if you wanted any of it, like, I haven't checked it out, so, like, let me know if there's anything important, otherwise I can, like, get rid of stuff for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's the move. I mean, we should all be more open about sex toys.
We should, but it's hard because that's not, like, a place that you go, especially, like, with your grandmother. Like, I feel like it's even weirder than if it's, like, your parent. There's almost, like, that feels like you could joke about it or be like, oh
yeah, I'd much rather return gross, a box of this. Sex toys to my mom than my grandma, for sure. I'd be like, what up, mom? Like, I'd be thrilled.
Proud of you.
I'd be proud. I would be so proud. I feel like I'd be proud of grandma, too, but, like, it just...
Oh, I'm definitely, I think I, and this is not actually my family, but if it were, I would be very, very proud of my grandma.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But then it's like, does that open you up to weird questions? Is it awkward then that, like, she knows that you know that she has those?
But I feel like, I don't know, like, if you just act like it's not a big deal because it's not, then they'll feel like it's not a big deal, you know?
Right, right. And then also, if you cleverly pack them up in, like, a certain box that then she unpacks later, like, alone, maybe you could just be like, oh, thank God these were in here, too. Really been missing
them. I think just mix it in with some other stuff and just, like, have it all be like, oh, here's the whatever, like, here's a round of shit, you know?
Here's a round of shit. 'Cause you need any of it. Yep.
A literal round of shit. Why not? You know, who's to say?
Okay. I feel like that's solid advice because I've been feeling bad about, like, you know, do they need to be disposed of? That feels wrong. So maybe, yeah, just sneak
them back.
Yeah,
I don't
want to
just get rid of somebody's sex toys. Like, listen, what if you need those?
I know. And then the also, like, older people, like, currently in quarantine, I'm just like, Jesus, I mean, you're so bored.
Anybody. Listen, pleasure yourselves. Also, welcome to Why Are You Like This?
Welcome.
And then I get, like, a little misty, and I'm like, should I be caring more about animals than, like, people?
But it doesn't have to. He licks all the beakers and flasks and tubes until he finds it.
No. Are you making this up?
I'm not. This is how it was discovered.
Hands-on, in-the-field experience to hydrate youths.
Which I know you're like, great, Austin, so you're drinking that fake water again. This month in December, please stop douching your genitals.
Soul-searching to find their true self.
I mean, that is this podcast, so... It's something we can all enjoy together. Welcome to Why Are You Like This, the weekly podcast coming at you from quarantined people who might need to pleasure themselves, because we're recording this midst all that is corona.
We are indeed.
But Why Are You Like This is the weekly podcast where we dissect some part of our culture, our grandmother's sex toys, human behavior, real science, pseudoscience, in order to determine why people are the way that they are. That's Jamie Ryan trying to discreetly pass off sex toys in Cincinnati.
And that's Austin Williams helping me out with How in Chicago.
Hey. Ooh, what a time to be alive. Well, here we are coming at you from all that is quarantine. What day of quarantine are you on at the time of this recording?
It's hard to say for me because I am still actively going to work. And as far as I know, I will continue to go to work this week because as a restaurant worker, we're doing a carryout situation. So I have only been quarantined today.
heard. Okay.
I mean, I've been, if we don't count going to work, then I have exclusively like been in my home for, I think, 7 days. But I am going back and forth to a painting project and to the restaurant. But that's it.
I mean, that's substantial.
It's more than most people are getting, I think. And I do find myself, while work is crazy stressful right now, like almost sometimes like giddy to go in just to like look at other people.
Yeah, no, I mean, that checks out. That 100% checks out.
Like, you'd probably be giddy if you had like a shitty carryout shift to go to tomorrow night.
I don't know. In this weird way, even though I'm the most extroverted hoe that we know on day 11 over here, not leaving my house, I don't know. If anything, it's going to feel weird to return to normalcy.
100%. Well, and I wonder, too, if we're all kind of going to start developing, like, little agoraphobia.
Oh, wow.
And who knows? Who knows? But
we can't know.
We'll see. Yeah.
But none of this is what we're talking about it's tonight. It's just where we're at.
Yeah, you know? It's what's going on. And by the time this comes out, like, the situation will probably be different. But these are backlogged
we'll
a little
bit.
We'll
either be out
so.
And free, or I'll be on day 97. We can't
Jesus
know.
Jesus Christ.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. We may be deep in it by now. But here's to hoping things are okay. So, Corona acknowledgements aside, hopefully tonight's topic, which has nothing to do with the virus, although we could actually probably connect it if we tried. But
we'll draw some parallels if need be. Sure,
we
why
will.
Not?
We will, sure. Hysteria, strange belief, we'll get there.
Sure.
But hopefully tonight's episode, like, my intention behind it was for it to just kind of be a welcome distraction and be maybe like a silly kind of light thing for us to think about that's fun.
I love a welcome distraction.
Thank you.
Love one, yeah.
So in the vein of pseudoscience, which we love, tonight... we'll be talking about cryptozoology.
Oh, wow. A term that I'm not familiar with, truly, like the term.
Yes, yes.
Crypto makes me think of like cryptocurrency.
Oh.
Zoology makes me think of animals. well, I don't know. That's where I'm at.
Okay, but so like, good job on the word origin stuff there. So like,
I took Latin, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Catholic school.
shout out.
It's fine. Wasn't available to me, but I would have taken it. So zoology, of course, is within the word cryptozoology. Zoology is the study of animals, and then crypto, as you mentioned, reminded you of cryptocurrency. But crypto basically means something that's kind of hidden. So cryptozoology means basically...
like cryptic.
Yeah, cryptic or like hidden animals.
Or like a crypt.
Or the crypt keeper. No. It means hidden animals. So creatures that may not exist, may exist, but creatures that are kind of outside the norm of like what we accept as something existing on Earth.
Okay, so give me an example. What does that entail?
Big hitters are going to be Bigfoot, Chupacabra, Loch Ness Monster.
The Yeti.
The Yeti, Hildefolk people. Yes, these kinds of like crossovers between like mythology and like folklore, and then maybe people trying to bring some science into it.
Perhaps for any of our Cincinnati brethren, the Loveland Frogman, one of my all-time favorites.
I forgot about the Loveland Frogman. A little light
Never
Cincinnati
forget.
Pandering. Oh, my God. He is one of our true claims to fame. Him and
I have a friend
Sarah
who claims
Jessica
he
Parker.
Saw him. So, listen.
Okay. Well, we'll get into like how people feel about eyewitness accounts. But, I mean...
I can't wait.
If he believes that he saw him, then it's going to be real hard to ever get him to not believe in the Frogman.
I mean, it might be. I can't know.
He doesn't want to feel crazy. Anyway, so let's start with some Wikipedia, yeah?
Always a good place to start. Always.
According to the Wikipedia, cryptozoology is a pseudoscience and subculture that aims to prove the existence of entities from the folklore record, such
as... All right, I'm listening.
Bigfoot, the Chupacabra, this next one's hard for me to say, Mokili Mbembe?
Oh, that's not one I'm familiar with.
I was not either. We'll talk about what that is in a minute, but I had never heard of that one until this.
Cool.
But Wikipedia tells us that cryptozoologists refer to these entities as cryptids. And I had heard that term, but I had never knew what it was. Have you heard of cryptid?
Oh. No, I haven't ever heard of them referred to as that, but I like it.
I like it too. So,
I like that there's a term for them.
Yeah, all the little...
Because they're like beyond mythical, you know what I mean? It's like there are people who are like, no, I believe, you know?
Yes.
And then there
are
people who are like, it's bullshit. We'll get into it, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's different than, it's not like when we talked about like the Nephilim or something that has like a weird like religious attachment or something that's
right.
maybe purely fantasy but kind of this weird place in the middle. So
okay.
the term cryptids was coined by the subculture of self-acclaimed cryptozoologists.
Oh, wow. There are people identifying. That's,
yes.
you know, that's what I like.
Yes. Yeah. Full identifying.
Oh, give it to me.
Because it does not follow the scientific method, cryptozoology is considered a pseudoscience by the academic world.
Okay, that makes sense, because they're not, like, we're not engaging in, like, full proof or something here, right?
Exactly. And it is neither a branch. It is not a branch of zoology or of folkloristics. So even folklore people are like, no.
They're like, that's not folklore. Interesting.
Yeah. So it's this thing that kind of lives nowhere. It was originally founded in the 1950s. So this is, like, a pretty new concept.
Yeah,
as,
young.
Yeah, as a pseudoscience. Obviously, folklore has been around for forever. But like cryptozoology, like with a name, originated in 1950, and it was sort of founded or coined by zoologists Bernard Huevelmans. That's a fun
Bernard
little last name.
Bernard feels like the right name. I like it.
Yeah, and his last name is Huevelmans, which makes me think of eggs, because huevos.
Huevos.
And another guy named Ivan T. Sanderson. So both founders...
These are good names. These are the kind of names I want someone who founded this kind of stuff to have.
It's fun. Right. I feel like I can see them out in the Galapagos, perhaps being lovers.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. They're trapped in the Galapagos.
We can't know, but I'm into it. Yeah, that's right. Send them to
just
the Galapagos.
Nude, mm-hmm. riding a sea turtle, looking at Bernard's arms ripping.
Why not? If you're not nude riding a sea turtle, have you really done it?
No,
have you?
I haven't. It's too bad.
I'd like to coin a new term for that. We'll have to work on it. We'll have to. You know how people be like, "Oh, join the Mile High Club." I want something like that, but it means that you've nude like rode a sea turtle. Like, I want to make a term for it.
Yeah, barebacking a sea turtle. We'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, listen, you got suggestions. Get at us. Mm-hmm.
So both of these guys were totally legit zoologists at first. So they started...
Oh, they were like full, like real deal zoologists.
Yeah,
who,
like they
went astray.
Absolutely. Like had careers, like had degrees. They wrote many books on zoology that were like very accredited. And then later in their career, they began writing about cryptozoology. And it was actually, for Bernard Huevelman, it was actually his knowledge of zoology as like a legitimate science that led him to believe that creatures from various folklore could be real, and that maybe we just haven't found them or we haven't classified them correctly.
I mean, that feels also like the argument for aliens. Like, we don't know.
So like, much of this be. As we talk. Yes. Like, we could substitute like the words Bigfoot or like cryptids with aliens probably at any point in this conversation, and like the rest of the conversation could remain the same.
sure all right, I'm open to it.
So like before we talk about like some specific cryptids, are there any that you believe in, or if not, have you ever, or do you have a favorite? What are your feels?
I mean, I like El Chupacabra just cause.
Sure, yeah, it's a fun.
Yeah, I feel like if I were inclined to really subscribe to one, it would probably be Loch Ness, just because if I think about sea creatures, I mean, there's just so much we don't know. I mean, think about the weird shit that it's at the bottom of the ocean. I bet that there are, like, giant weird species that, like, are in big water that we have no idea about. And, like, the thing about Loch Ness is, like, I'm not, like, Loch is not an ocean. Like, those are not synonymous bodies of water. And I don't have a real...
It's landlocked, if you will.
Right. Yeah, and I don't have a sense of, like, how big, like, the alleged loch for Loch Ness is. But,
I think we're kind of on par with, like, a Great Lake.
Yeah, I certainly believe weird shit can live in water. Like, I'm down for that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I'm honestly super in the same boat. Loch Ness has always been the one that I'm like, I don't know if like all of the photographs are real, but I'm like
yeah, sure,
very,
sure, sure.
very open to there being like a dinosaur-like creature that's popping up in the lock.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. And I like you saying, I don't know about the photographs, because like, I don't know about the photographs that people like try and prove like aliens or ghosts with, but I like definitely believe in ghosts and like am very open to aliens being a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I just don't necessarily like believe that every person who's like, I took this photo is like legit, you know?
Right. Because it's too bad that like this is perhaps a field of study or pseudoscience that attracts maybe some unwell or some paranoid people.
Okay.
And then there's a lot of evidence presented that is maybe not amazing evidence and really actually kind of works against anyone legitimately looking into these creatures.
Listen, shitty researchers can fuck just about anything up for the rest of us.
They can, indeed. Indeed. So yes, Loch Ness is also my favorite, and I'll talk more about like my feelings on perhaps how the Loch Ness monster could exist a little later. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. So first I want to just briefly talk about Bigfoot. What are your feels on Bigfoot?
This is one that I definitely like don't know, but I've bought into like the photos and stuff that people are slinging about. But it's also like it feels slightly less probable to me than like something in the water. That said, I do feel like there could be some species of something similar to a bear that like we flee from, but we haven't realized isn't a bear because most people run from bears, you
mm-hmm,
know?
Mm-hmm. Totally. I've always been kind of disinterested in Bigfoot. I don't know. I feel like
yeah, it's not. Bigfoot doesn't excite me. I'll say that.
Right. It just feels like this folklore that I'm like, God, that's kind of boring. I don't know.
Like I'm more into the Yeti and the Arctic tundra, you know?
Yeah, I agree. But my girlfriend had a coworker who, upon meeting her, like told her that he believed not only in Bigfoot, but also believed in what he described as tribes of small missing link humans scattered around the earth.
Let's definitely talk about that. I'm ready for that shit. Honestly, that could be a thing, like feral, like communities.
That's what he means.
I'd definitely be on board for. I'd like, sure, they probably do exist.
Yeah, I'm not totally closed off to it.
Isn't there some community in like India or somewhere in the Middle East, perhaps, that like there are like these princesses and princes who like live in the woods? Don't you know what I'm talking about? The Times did a profile on this or something.
This sounds remarkably familiar, and I worry that I'm going to say like something just really incorrect if I try to talk about it. But do your own research. Find out if there are these tribes that we're talking about, because I don't want to like throw any nouns around right now.
Fair enough.
But yes, I have also heard of that. So Bigfoot, depending on who you ask, and through the research that I sifted through, seems like right now, so in the window of like 2015 to 2020, so like very recently, approximately 14-16% of Americans for real believe in Bigfoot.
Not like it's a possibility, but I'm sure it's real.
Yes. Not a possibility.
Oh, wow, that's a higher percentage than I would have thought.
I agree. I couldn't find any hard data on belief prior to that time. And my inkling in why that would be is because I feel like in the last 5 to 10 years, our interest in, as a culture, pseudoscience, conspiracy theories, the idea that like science is not giving us real information. There's been like a real flood of that kind of belief.
Like flat earthers and
100%. Just flooding in. Anyway, so what is the Bigfoot? I'm going to again reference Wikipedia because it's just it's a real good source.
I mean, I love a good source.
They tell us that in North American folklore, Bigfoot or Sasquatch, if you will, are said to be hairy, upright, walking, ape-like creatures that dwell in the wilderness and leave footprints. People always say they're finding footprints.
Yeah, that's always like the evidence. It's like occasionally like a real grainy, weird photo that you're like, is that just a dude in a gorilla suit? But like the footprints are the thing that people are like, it can't be from this other thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I would say like as a former ceramic artist that like one could make a giant foot and then like press it into the ground and then like leave with it. You know?
I mean, it's the same kind of phenomenon as like crop circles, right? To harken back to aliens, like people could do that, or like other, like, you know, it's like we know that there are humans who make crop circles, but also like some of the really mathematics shit, people are like, is it aliens? And it's like, right. Could go either way.
Right. Yeah, I believe that, like, some crop circles obviously for sure are people, but I don't think all...
Yeah, because people admit to it.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And they show us, like, the elaborate rigs of how they push down the corn. Okay, this is
I'd
not
actually like to make a crop circle.
Oh, my God, it would be... I would just, you know what, call it field art.
Oh, yes. If you're, like, a crop circler, like, and you need a buddy, like, to come to Indiana, you know, not too far.
I'll stand on the boards for you.
Oh, yeah, I would love to walk with one of those boards and lay down some corn. The problem is it can really screw farmers and their crops, like, if you do that for fun.
It's so truly vandalism, yes.
It is. So, like, don't wreck corn unless you have permission. And if you do have permission, call me. I'd like to get in on this.
For sure, for sure. Okay, so back to Sasquatch. Depictions often portray them as the missing link between humans and human ancestors or other great apes. They are strongly associated with the Pacific Northwest.
I didn't know. I actually don't know, like, the region for Bigfoot, so that's cool.
Yeah, and it really is, like, super concentrated in particularly Oregon, Washington, and, like, the British Columbia area. Northern California also. Like a hot spot. And over the years, these commercials have obviously inspired numerous commercial ventures and hoaxes. Sure. Yes.
I mean, I love a hoax. I really do. Shout out to the hoaxers, honestly.
It's fun. It's a distraction. Honestly, right now, like, a Bigfoot hoax would be amazing. A welcome distraction.
I would love something to welcome us into this time. Yeah, for sure.
Let's all throw ourselves into looking for it. Okay, it's not a good idea. Okay. But
I'm open to it.
Fun little side note, the plural nouns for Bigfoot are both Bigfoots and Big Feet. Either one is correct.
Big feet is funny. Like, that's funny.
But also Bigfoot.
I saw a couple of big feet. I'm like, what? Yep. I'm open to it.
Yep. But folklorists trace the figure of the Bigfoot to a combination of factors and sources, including folklore surrounding the European wild man figure. And also folk belief among Native Americans and loggers, and a cultural increase in environmental concerns. Put a little asterisk by that.
Oh, I will. I will.
So according to California Magazine, speaking of how this is popular in Northern California.
Sure.
They told us that the controversial 1967 Patterson-Gimlin film, which is about the sighting of a Bigfoot. It's still held up by many believers as the only, quote, legit evidence of the creature.
Interesting.
Yeah, but scientists, like, widely declared that that film was a complete hoax. It was shot in Northern California, which is, as I mentioned, the hotspot. And the filmmakers were Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin, and they recorded what they swear was a real Bigfoot taking a stroll in Humboldt County, which is a hotspot for Bigfoot. It was walking it was walking alongside Bluff Creek, which is a tributary of the Kalama River, if you're ever in the area. And in the footage, Patty the Vi-
The footage.
In the footage.
Oh, man, the dad jokes are flying right now. Okay.
Patty is what they've named this particular Bigfoot, and they assumed the Bigfoot to be female because she has enormous boobs.
Oh, wow. I was going to say, how did we gender this creature?
Just giant tits on this Bigfoot.
Shout out, honestly. Okay, yeah. Cool.
So Patty walks by, she looks over her shoulder at the camera, and then strides away. So many of us have probably seen this video. This is like...
I feel like I have.
That's like the traditional Bigfoot shot, like when you do I mean I did this in my college dorm in a gorilla suit, like walk by the door.
Oh, you did. I do remember, like, you doing
turned
that.
Over the shoulder and then kept walking.
Yeah, did the Bigfoot little shimmy through. Gotta
see if
do.
We can scounge up that scour that picture. Anyway, so that's Patty, and that's maybe why we associate the Bigfoot with sort of an awkward turn and walk. But between the late 1950s and the early 2000s, more than 40 reports of Bigfoot encounters were reported just in the Humboldt County area, which
more
was...
than 40. Okay.
Yeah. People taking videos, say, just all kinds of shit.
Okay.
There's a culture of belief there, which as a community is kind of fun. I don't know. I feel like it'd be fun.
It's like New Mexico when you're like into aliens.
Yes. Yes. I wonder sometimes if the New Mexicans are like tired of that.
I think some of them have fled, like they're for it, and some people like are think they're ruining the community. Like right. anything.
Like anything that sweeps through. So that's like what the Bigfoot is. I think we're all pretty familiar.
Okay, yeah.
But
pretty straight up. I think it's probably the most well-known crypto.
And maybe that's just because we're American, and so we think that it's like the most well-known cryptid because it's the one that's here. But sure. I would definitely say that it's been the most prominent one in my life.
Yeah, I would say that and Loch Ness, like, yeah. are the two that come to mind most readily.
Yeah, and Loch Ness, and we'll get into it, but Loch Ness, I think, has been so prevalent because that's the one that has, like, it seems like the most sightings. Like, every couple of years, there's just, like, a new wave of evidence and, like, new people looking into it and, like, new photos or, like, bones that could be Loch Ness. And it just, like, keeps...
Bones, okay.
And those were disproved, but it just keeps, like, popping back up to the front of our... consciousness, and so I feel like that to me, even though it's not American, Loch Ness has been really prominent in my life.
Yeah, pop lock and drop it. I'm
stop.
Saying.
Okay. But one that I hadn't heard of, and you obviously hadn't heard of either, that we mentioned up top, is let me try this name again. Oh Jesus, Mokele Mbembe. So that one is in Congo River Basin mythology.
Okay.
What Mokele Mbembe means is one who stops the flow of rivers.
Oh, interesting. I like this. This has like powers. Okay.
It's fun. Yes, more. This one's like a little more mystical. So it is a water dwelling entity, sometimes described.
Oh, I'm here for that water dweller. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sometimes described as a living creature and sometimes, as you mentioned, described as a spirit.
Oh.
Right. So, yeah, folklore, a little mysticism. During the early 20th century, descriptions of the entity increasingly reflected public increasingly reflected public fascination with dinosaurs. So think about like Jurassic Park's happening. We're digging up those bones, figuring out the Paleolithic shit. So
dinosaurs really trend every once in a while. Like people just really get jazzed about them.
Yes. When we were children, there was like a major dinosaur trend. And then I feel like a couple years ago, it happened again. It really mostly has to do with, I think, the release of various Jurassic Parks.
I think you're right.
Keeping children interested. Anyway, so a public interest in dinosaurs has theoretically fueled kind of the myth and the cryptidology, if you will. Cryptozoology of the Mokele Mbembe.
Okay.
So as I mentioned, descriptions of the entity increasingly reflected public fascination with dinosaurs, including aspects of particular dinosaur species now known among scientists to be incorrect. Like the mythology of this creature changed as we got new information about dinosaurs. So people are kind of like taking in new information from science and then like regurgitating it back out and applying it to this myth. Does that make sense?
Oh, that sounds like fake news. Sounds like some dangerous jargon.
We're one step away from flat earth, I'm telling you.
Okay, all right.
So the entity became increasingly described alongside a number of purported living dinosaurs in Africa. So like...
Okay, wait, what? Now I'm lost. I'm like, living dinosaurs.
Yeah. So like throughout the 20th century, as people are talking about this like river dinosaur, they're also saying that they're finding like alive real life dinosaurs like currently in Africa. So obviously, I do not believe that. You seem to not believe that either.
It doesn't feel like something I'm like fully on board for. No.
No, most definitely not. But it's just kind of shows how... People who like are not scientists, but maybe have like beliefs or inklings or superstitions can take a little piece of science and like incorrectly apply it in a pseudoscientific way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think something people are guilty of doing all the time of, you know, assuming that if something's true in one situation, it can be applied universally.
Yeah. 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 And I'm very, very guilty of that. I have probably all sorts of wild beliefs because of that. I think I know
like
science. I think I'm smarter than I am. And then I'm like, ooh, so the Hilda folk. Anyway.
Oh, well.
So over time, the entity, which the Wikipedia keeps calling it, became a focus point in particular among adherents of people who believe in young Earth creationism.
So what does that mean? Like, okay, so creation, like creationism, just in the sense of like the Earth is more than 40,000 or like less than 40,000 years old because they believe like in creationism.
Yes. So okay. young Earth, meaning like rather than the Earth being billions of years old, like taking kind of like the biblical 7 days and then 40,000
years.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So people who believe in like young Earth bullshit, have adopted.
Sorry.
I know. Like have kind of bled together.
I don't
together.
Think any creationists are listening to this podcast. Like, we're not for them.
And if you are, please contact me. Like, I would love to just have like a really open conversation with you.
That's true.
I truly would. But so the Creation Museum in Kentucky, which
yes.
we have not been to, but I would love to visit in disguise. For free, there are there are dinosaurs there, and it's like depicted that dinosaurs coexisted with human beings. Because
if you're not from the greater Cincinnati area or other adjacent cities,
I feel like the nation knows about this shit, but go ahead.
Everybody might not know about the Creation Museum, but basically it's like a museum, and I know they have like dinosaurs, like the kind of dinosaur replicas that you'd see like in your natural history museum somewhere, in reference to like skeletons and that kind of thing. But basically the whole museum is like set up in a way to prove to you that creationism is real,
yes.
including stuff with dinosaurs.
Correct.
Go on.
And so this particular entity has been used to support young Earth creationism. Paleontologist Donald Prothero remarked that, quote, "The quest for Mokile Mbembe is part of the effort by creationists to overthrow the theory of evolution and the teaching of science by any means possible." Additionally, Prothero observes that, quote, "The only people looking for Mokile Mbembe are creationist ministers, not wildlife biologists."
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I mean, listen, this is like the snakebite church lifestyles. I don't
yes.
know.
It is. And so it's kind of too bad, because if there ever was any truth to that creature, or like some unknown creature that this is being mistaken for existing, like maybe it's not a dinosaur, but maybe we just haven't classified this animal. It's not getting any attention from biologists because people who are trying to prove creationism are skewing the media of it. Like, there's no way that science could take it seriously now.
Creationists are just probably the people you don't want to have on your marketing team if you're trying to seem reputable.
Most definitely. So moving on to like the last cryptid that I want to describe, and my personal favorite, the Loch Ness Monster.
Hello.
So again, I'll give you just like a quick Wikipedia definition if you're not familiar with the Loch Ness. And then I want to tell you
Nessie.
And then I want to tell you like why I think actually it could be for real.
Okay, I love this. I love a little argument for sake.
Arguments, yes. So Wikipedia tells us that in Scottish folklore, the Loch Ness Monster, or Nessie, is said to be
is said to be
a creature that inhabits Loch Ness in the Scottish Highlands. So there's a lake in Scotland, and people think that this creature lives there. It is often described.
It's not a lake, it's a loch, Jamie.
I didn't take earth science. Anyway, it is often described as large in size, with a long neck and one or more humps protruding from the water. Popular interest and belief in the creature has varied since it was brought to worldwide attention in 1933. So that was the first kind of announcement of Nessie, you know, her coming out party.
I assume you're going to tell us, but I'm excited about Nessie's coming out party, and I'm kind of curious as to why the 30s.
There are like historical kind of like diaries of spotting things that could be the Loch Ness Monster. So I feel after researching that there are sightings before this. And Wikipedia tells us that evidence before 1933 is anecdotal at best. And there are a few disputed photographs with sonar readings kind of like right around that time. But 1933 is like when in a media way, it kind of like hit the world stage. The scientific community regards the Loch Ness Monster as a phenomenon without biological basis and explains the sightings as hoaxes, wishful thinking, and the misidentification of mundane objects. So I have seen several documentaries on the Loch Ness Monster. And I will say that none of them convinced me. Like, I believe that the Loch Ness Monster could exist, but I believe that all of the evidence that I've been shown is mostly BS. Like, I feel like we talked about before, like, most of the photographs, like, they look like they could be a rock with, like, a reflection on them or any number of things. Someone left a tire. Yeah, yeah.
Or and like then, somebody like, left a tire.
A meter
somewhere.
Stick got attached to it. I don't know. Or maybe someone made, like, a little dinosaur and floated it out into the water to scare people. It could be anything. Could have
dino.
Been.
Could be, could
yeah,
have
also,
been
we can't discount
hold
people
the wrong
who want
stuff.
This kind of thing to be real so badly that they'll go ahead and make it, make fake evidence, you know? Like crop circles. So why
like
do I believe
circles.
In the Loch Ness Monster? You touched on it at the beginning, but...
Go on.
I feel like... And we'll talk about this a little later also, but I think that from an archaeological perspective, we perhaps should have found bones of this creature if it lives in the loch, because it is landlocked. So theoretically, the Loch Ness Monster is stuck in the loch in Scotland, and it cannot get to other bodies of water. It can't get to the ocean.
Yeah.
And so it should be living and dying and reproducing in that same body of water. If that's the case, when they dredge the floor of the loch, they should be getting some kind of remains of this creature, but they're not. And eating its bones?
What's
I mean, anything could be true. Maybe it has like super
it?
Tasty bones that there's like a bacteria and they dissolve it right away. Anything could be true. But something that I encountered over and over again when reading about cryptids is the idea that a lack of or an absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. So the fact that we're not finding skeletal remains of any of these cryptids is not for sure evidence that they don't exist. But it is the only evidence to prove that they don't exist. So it's kind of this conundrum of it could only be proved... Yeah, it could only ever be proved positive or remain a mystery.
Yeah, that's tough. Which I guess is really true of anything. It's like you can't, like, there's so much you can't prove. So
right. And I think a lot of this, when people like really
want
to get like nitty gritty about it, just boils down to like how comfortable are you saying that you really don't know? And despite there not being any kind of fossilized or bone evidence in the loch of Ness, I think that she could be real because there's so much that we don't know. There's so much that we don't know about dark waters and deep places, and I am admittedly not a scientist, I'm not a zoologist, I'm not a geologist, but I just feel like there is some possibility that there could be like underwater caves that prehistoric creatures are like maybe still existing in, like whatever killed the dinosaurs. Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some weird shit at the bottom of the ocean for sure. I think the thing that's hard to confirm with like the Loch Ness.
No, I mean, and they like have dredged it
body
to like
of water,
look for
really.
Bones and like try to find these creatures and like never have. I do too. Thank
Which
you.
Which I love that people have
yeah,
like
figure out what the fuck's living in
it.
Here.
They've been like,
no,
well,
but
we
I do feel strongly
Let's
that there
it.
Could be like just a small community of Nessies that are thriving in. That are thriving in these deep channels, and maybe they live
community.
And die like. Maybe they live in the loch and then also go home at night to a deep sea cave that we can't access. And maybe that's where all the bones are. There are just like a lot of other possibilities for why the bones could be not
no,
in the
it's
loch.
Possible. Mm-hmm. You know, it's possible. And you know how I know it's possible?
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you. Because and that you is an infuriating stance to take, but like, it's where we are, and that's okay. So, I'd like to move into some psychosocial reasons for belief or unbelief in cryptids. So, eyewitnesses, your friend that you mentioned earlier, who, it's really hard to ever kind of dispute something that someone experienced firsthand. Like, it's their experience, it's their reality, and that person will probably, like, always believe that that cryptid is real. And haven't you ever, like, really believed that you thought you saw something, and then you were, like, incredulous when you see some kind of evidence that you were wrong? For example, people who swear that they have ordered soup at the restaurant that I work at and then really, really dislike me telling them that we've never, ever had soup. They don't like it. They like sometimes I actually sometimes I double back and I'm like, you know what? I think actually there was a brief window where we had soup. I'm so sorry. And that is a full lie. But it's just like to get out of like fighting with them about it. People really believe people believe their memories.
That's hilarious. I have had that argument with people in like retail stores that I've worked at. People be like, "Did you have whatever like a week ago?" And I was like, "We don't have anything like that." And they'd be like, "Ask someone else, check." And
I'm like, "Fully wear the inventory."
I'm like, "I'm the manager of the
whole store. I have dredged this retail location.
I know everything that's inside here. I live here. Like, I low-key have a cot in the back." I'm like, that's not something that exists, but people
and
do get
in
a little,
the cryptid vein, there was a man who believed he had photos of Bigfoot, and so he like took them when he was out in the woods, brought them back, gave them to a newspaper. He was like so gung-ho about like, I have proof that Bigfoot is real, and then he went back to revisit the site to see if he could like see him again, and upon revisiting the site in the daytime, he realized that what he thought was a Bigfoot was just a really big rock. And that was it. He was pretty disappointed. Yeah. But basically, we like to have our experience validated and we don't like to feel crazy. Another reason is social pressure. We can feel social pressure to believe or to not believe. So when asked yes or no, seriously though,
therein
I felt a lot
Santa
of social
Claus.
Pressure to
okay.
believe in Santa Claus, although I did not. It was hard. Okay, so when asked yes or no to do you believe in ghosts or aliens, most people say no if it's just like a yes or no answer. Me too. But apparently
what?
People feel
I'm like fuck yeah,
saying no if it's just yes or no, like binary, that saying no is like the right answer that makes them seem like the most smart or sane. Yes.
Oh, maybe whereas an alternative
yes.
could be like, do you believe
so
it's
when you open up those conversations about
or ghosts?
Ghosts or aliens or cryptids to include like maybe it's real, the answers change dramatically, and a lot of the no's become maybe.
Well, that makes sense. And also, I think that's like when
of course,
we're not
I love
sure,
not
we don't like
answers.
To give a hard answer, you know? And I love not giving hard answers for sure. And like, kind of to that point, I mean, yeah, as somebody who's like, I full believe in ghosts, like, I'm like, it's fucking real. I might actually be a little skeptical of someone who was like, I know for a fact that ghosts are real. I'd be like, do you though? Even as somebody who's like a hardcore ghost / medium believer, which I am, get at me. I just like, yeah, I might look a little weird if someone was
I
like,
would too.
I know that
I feel that way about
real.
Anything kind of pseudoscientific
like,
when people are overly firm in their opinions about it. Because how do you know? Where are you, like, how are you so sure?
Yeah.
Anyway, so basically people feel maybe some embarrassment to admit that they believe in, say, Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster. And so socially it can feel easier to dismiss those things, even if you do have some kind of underneath curiosity about them. also, if we are close to someone who was an eyewitness,
sure,
we may get
sense.
Pulled in via our desire to see that person as correct or sane. Like, for example, a man whose father devoted his life to searching for Bigfoot. The son was very adamant that the father's findings, like, were legitimate, and, like, his life's work was, like he found the Bigfoot and, like, really went to bat for him about that. And, you know, maybe he did believe it on his own, maybe he didn't, but there is perhaps some element of, like, I don't want my father's life work to be, like, that of a madman.
Yeah, and there's something to that, too, that's, like, very frustrating that mm-hmm. When you, like, you and I, like, even just in friendship, if we're in a situation that one of us believes mm-hmm. something or is, like, about something that seems perhaps a little out there, and, like, if I'm, you know, very much, like, of the conviction that something that people aren't sure about, I'm like, no, this is real. If you were to agree with me, people, because of our relationship, would look at your belief as, like, less valid. And I think that that's, like, infinitely more true in familial things and also in romance, where people are like, well, you just, like, love that person, so, like... And that's kind of shitty, like, when you're in that situation that you feel like you're... Mm-hmm. Account of the, like, what you consider to be the facts or, like, the way things happened, somebody thinks you are unable to be objective.
It really
because
is
of your relationship,
and that is kind of the flip side of
man,
that
that's infuriating
experience. But either way, like, pressure to, like, agree or not agree, we're just, it's interesting, like, how you kind of balance all the social pressure of that, and that plays into your belief.
But wouldn't we talk about this son, like, so differently if he were just, like, a young protege who totally agreed with this dude, but wasn't his blood kin?
Just like we would have felt that the second Iraq war was different if it was with a president who was not George Bush Sr.'s son. Yes.
Any other president.
The sins of the father. Okay,
that's true. That's true.
Then, speaking of social pressures, some cultures just, like, straight up believe in cryptids. As we mentioned, like, young earth creationists, there are branches of evangelicals that are, like, really pushing for the Mukele Mbabe, if I said that correctly.
I never really thought of creationists as people who'd advocate for cryptids, but I like it. It almost, like, almost makes,
like,
me like creationists
I'm,
just, like, a little bit.
I'm almost happy that the conversation is happening, but it's too bad.
Yeah, not
that, like,
actually.
The reason they're doing it is to, like, throw a wrench in, like, science education. It's a bad end game.
Right. Yeah, that's true. It's kind of hilarious, actually, if you think about it. Just that they're, like, so hard on, like, some stuff that's... Just listen, not
trying
true.
To rustle up a
but
creature.
But then, like, being like, oh, I don't know, like, mythical creatures could exist. You, like, right.
Okay,
right.
So other
why
cultures that are into cryptids. There's a berkeley.edu article from California Magazine that informed me that Bigfoot represents the Pacific Northwest in a huge way. It's taken up as an emblematic kind of figure in the area. And there are Sasquatch festivals, there are Bigfoot statues, and one local said that it's almost like you should believe in Bigfoot at least a little bit if you live in that area. Like, it's like cultural pride or patriotism.
Oh, I like that, though. It's like a camaraderie kind of thing.
Exactly. Like, we all live here, like, we just, it's real.
I like that. I want to be a part of one of those communities where I'm like, oh, yeah, we all believe in fairies, don't you? I would love to live in a place like that
what
someday.
What do you mean?
In my older years. Oh, man. That's the kind
too.
Of lifestyle I want to have. And I want to be, like, at the farmer's market where people will be like, yeah, I saw one of those gnomes the other day, you know, fishing.
God.
And I've been like, oh, yeah, the gnomes
those
and their
gnomes.
Little poles.
But humans, we tend to gather our beliefs socially. So not just from reading the newspaper, not from reading scientific journals, not even necessarily from religious leaders. Most people apparently gather their belief system from their social group. So whether it's
church
or your local
school.
Community.
Yeah.
Maybe a book club that gets really intense about some strange things.
Or that's, just people you're friends with, you know?
Yeah. All the social pressures are going to definitely affect your beliefs.
For sure.
the last reason. And this is my favorite reason. But apparently, okay. Belief in cryptids, and this is especially true in when we're talking about Bigfoot, but belief in cryptids can help keep hope alive that we are self-sustaining creatures. So okay. What do I mean by that? It can be both exciting and comforting for people to think that there is a somewhat intelligent bipedal hominid who could live undetected and free in the wilderness. And people like to entertain the idea of like doing that themselves. So like the idea that there's some version of man that just like can exist out in the wilderness in like a survivalist, but like totally fine kind of way.
That's why people move to Alaska.
This is partially why people move to Alaska. Yes. Also, are you running from something? Do you need the check for moving there? I don't know.
Are you Sarah Palin?
We can't know. Okay. Are you? Mm. What's your stance on guns? Anyway. Some have imagined Bigfoot as a highly evolved and wise species, unchained by trivial human emotions, sort of a Mr. Spock of the wilderness, if you will.
I will.
In that same article that I read, they said, could an animal be enough like us to escape our endless snooping, yet unlike us enough to escape our endless competitiveness? So basically, it feels really kind of heartening or like idealistic to think that there's this other version of human beings, big feet perhaps, who evolved maybe slightly separately from us and have a civilization that's obviously functioning and working if they're alive. But they are somehow evading us. So they're like intelligent and like us enough that like we're not finding them. They're like successfully hiding. But also,
yeah, people would like that idea, like that being a possibility.
Absolutely. This whole other little society. And then like you take it a step further into like the Mr. Spock of the wilderness kind of territory and say like, okay, well, if they do exist, they're obviously being pretty quiet about it. So they're probably not like having wars or like committing a bunch of murders or like they're not creating pollution because like we would see it. And so it's a nice thing to think about existing.
It is. I understand why there's like excitement there and why it would, I don't know, get people kind of fired up. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. And from like, especially people kind of shifting their mindsets to be maybe like more environmentally aware. I think that the idea of a Bigfoot is very heartening because it would say like, yes, human beings can live like in sync with the earth and maybe like live without a carbon footprint, if you will.
I will. Yeah, I'm here for that. And in some ways, like the things that are mystical about this that make it appealing to folks wouldn't exist if we could prove legitimately that these creatures were real.
They do. And right. So like it could be a huge disappointment if we did find a settlement of Bigfeet and we found out
that... Yeah, it loses some of its magic.
Right. And we found out that like, oh, actually, like they have all the women chained up and like the, you know, they're quietly warring with each other or like... I don't know. We could find out that they're doing things that we think are really terrible. And then our illusion of like this sort of like harmonious creature out in the wilderness is totally shattered.
That's true. And that would not feel great.
It would not. So Bigfoot, right now you are alive in our imaginations.
And only there.
And only there. Okay, so there was a Nat Geo article that I read called The Science Behind Bigfoot and Other Monsters.
Oh, okay. I like this that people are saying the science behind them. Like, say more.
Yes, yes. So there are two scientists, Daniel Loxton and Donald...
Seems like somebody would be on board for the Loch Ness Monster.
Mm-hmm. And okay. Donald R. Prothero, who I referenced earlier.
Sure.
But they wrote a book called Abominable Science, Origins of the Yeti, Nessie, and Other Famous Cryptids. And so basically what they did is they looked at cryptids and applied the scientific method, which I really appreciate.
Oh, okay. I love a little scientific method. Could you refresh for the listeners what scientific method really entails?
Oh boy. Okay. So brushing off my early science, scientific method, you have to like take everything through a process. And so you have like a hypothesis, which is your educated guess of what you think is going to happen. And then you move into testing the hypothesis and gathering whatever data you can. Then you move on to analyzing that data and creating a conclusion. And I probably missed a couple steps.
I feel like that's it. Like, it involves like systematic observation and measurement. You have to have measurable variables. You have like your control variables and the variables that change. You can't change everything because then you don't know what's affecting your results. And then you test things and then you modify your hypothesis as you go through if you tweak it to figure out what's actually the truth.
Right. So rather than perhaps what maybe cryptozoologists would have a tendency to do, which would be to find only the information and data that supports their hypothesis, if you truly apply the scientific method, you can navigate away from the confirmation bias of just finding data that backs up your belief and actually start to mold your belief with the data. And so we get maybe a clearer picture of like what's really going on and stop just like affirming our own beliefs.
Yeah, because really what you're supposed to do, like when you follow the scientific method, is you're supposed to like observe what's going on, have some questions, like identify what you're trying to figure out in this case, like are these things real, mm-hmm. right? And then you could do any research that you need to. Then you make your hypothesis. Then you run your little tests. You experiment, you know. Then you can test your hypothesis. You can draw some conclusions. And then hopefully there's, you know, some data to share. And to your point, you share all of it, not just the stuff that's helpful.
Exactly. Exactly. And so that's the biggest difference in what these guys are doing is they are both skeptics, but they really like the idea of they're being cryptids.
I like the idea.
I do too. At one point, the interviewer asked them, is there a cryptid that you wish existed? And they said, all of them. They were like, we're paleontologists. Like, we wish that all of these things existed. But
that's cool. I like that answer.
Right. So like they're here for it, but they also know that most of the research on cryptozoology is like bullshit to this point. So
they were like, let's do some fucking real research then.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And some of what I read in this article, them just kind of explaining their process, I feel like I got a better handle on maybe like what classifies something as a cryptid. So I'm going to go ahead and read you an excerpt.
Oh, I love that.
They say, the first thing, of course, is that a cryptid can't be a single animal. If there's one of them, there's got to be many of them. You can talk about their population density, the size range they should have based on their estimated body size. All of that tends to weigh against them being real because they should have huge ranges and they should have been spotted a long time ago if they really did exist.
Okay.
And then there's other aspects, like geology, something you never hear cryptozoologists mention. All the lake monsters, not just Loch Ness, but the ones here also in North America. Apparently there are rumored lake monsters in Lake Champlain and Lake George.
I have heard about the Lake Champlain monster. I have heard that.
I have briefly, I feel like a long time ago, but I would love to learn more some other time. Anyway, they say that as far as like data collecting goes, they realized that all of those creatures would have been under a mile of ice 20,000 years ago. And so they make the point that cryptozoologists never asked the question, how did the monsters get into the lake if the lake was completely under ice and all the lakes are landlocked? There's no way for a marine creature to get in there at all. So they say that those are all things that are not new to geologists. They're not new to biologists, but they are apparently new to cryptozoologists. So this is the kind of data that they are like bringing into their study. And by the end of it, they don't really have a conclusion. It just kind of sits right where it always has, where they say like, yeah, we can't confirm that something doesn't exist because how can you ever confirm something doesn't exist? But we but they're like, we found nothing but evidence against it. But like, of course it could be, you know, in 100 years we could find the Loch Ness monster because it's been hiding from us. But by applying like the scientific method to the idea of cryptozoology, I don't know. I was interested in like the ways that they made like geology points, like that.
Okay.
Most areas like where we found like dinosaur bones, or like truly on every continent we've done archaeological excavation. And so right. wouldn't we have found these bones there somewhere, anywhere? And to that,
you'd think, but like, I feel like there do exist bones that people aren't totally sure what they are.
Also that, yes. And their point about like, there's not just one, like, I think the Loch Ness Monster in particular, people really think about it as like, that's one monster who's been alive for forever.
I think so too, but that's like, that's the part that I'm like, what is this, like the immortal water snake? It doesn't check out.
Right, right. And yes, sea turtles can live for like hundreds and hundreds of years, but there are many of them because they're a species.
We're going to ride them nude. There it is.
We're going to ride them bare-assed on their bare back.
That's what I'm
and
talking
I can't
about.
Wait.
Okay.
I can't wait. But basically, I hadn't really thought about that a lot of these cryptids are treated as a single creature. Like when you say like the Yeti or like Bigfoot, I think I always thought of it as just one entity, not...
Yeah, I think I have too. It's like... I guess I've heard like big feet being like more than one occasionally, but I still kind of think of it as like one, and like the Yeti for sure, Loch Ness for sure, El Chupacabra for mm-hmm. sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they're basically saying like if it's a creature, there are more than one of them because nothing on Earth is just one creature. And so that is like more evidence right. to support that like we would have found some kind of remains.
Yeah, I mean, that checks out.
It does. And I hear that. And they talk a lot about, like, confirmation bias. One of the guys says that when he was a kid, he swore he saw a pterodactyl fly across his backyard. And then, like, later in college, when he was studying birds, he realized that it was, like, actually just a certain kind of hawk. So confirmation bias all over the place.
One time I saw a deer in a neighbor's front yard, and I was fully convinced it was a donkey.
That's kind of amazing. Actually, once in a while, there's a deer that looks like a little derpy, like a donkey. And I think it's really, really cute.
I'm saying this one was a little derpy. And I was like full looking at it. And I was very
like
close to it.
Neck.
And I was like, what the fuck is this donkey doing? And I really thought it was a donkey until someone was like, it's a deer. And I was like, is it?
There's a
and
deer in my yard.
Shamed.
There's a deer in my yard that looks like a donkey. And I love it. And it just like... its eyes are like a little too far apart. And like its mm-hmm. neck is kind of too thick. And... I think it's really cute.
Yeah, I like them.
I hope the other deer like it. But to your point earlier, I just want to note that we do discover new species all the time.
That's true.
And to me, that's the biggest, like, most compelling reason to just, like, keep my mind open to these cryptids. Because, for example, recently we discovered some new sea slugs. So this last year, did you hear about this?
I don't know that I did.
So there's like many kinds of new creatures that we discover each year. They are seem to mostly be in the deep ocean because we like know almost nothing about the deep ocean.
That's what I'm talking about.
There it is. There it is. And not to derail, but I really do feel like in prehistoric times, there could be creatures that were amphibians that were able to go deep into the sea during whatever killed the dinosaurs. And then maybe they just kept living and breeding and evolving down there. And there's a whole world that we just really can't even know about. That's
I could get down with that. I could get down with that being a thing.
Me too. And then maybe there's like a little channel that leads up into the Loch in Scotland, and that's where Loch Ness comes from. And it could be.
Well, we can't know, but maybe.
Yeah. Okay, so back to these sea slugs. So apparently, and I didn't know this, sea slugs are masters of disguise.
Ooh, I like them more already.
I know, I didn't know this, but they... kind of like chameleons, like disguise themselves as other things in their environment.
That's fucking awesome.
So there's a new slug that was discovered like a year ago, and it's called Madrella amphora. I hope I said that correctly.
Okay.
And what that one does is it rolls itself up and resembles other snail eggs that can be yeah. found in their habitat. And so, like...
I like that like, the whole time people thought it was, like, the other creature that it kept pretending to be.
Yep.
That's a good disguise.
Yes.
I like him.
Yes.
Okay.
And there is a man named Terry Gosliner, who is a curator of invertebrate zoology.
Shout out, Terry.
Yes. He says, we recently confirmed through genetics that sea slugs mimic the colors of other species, but it's rare to see sea slugs mimic other animals entirely. So this guy studies sea slugs all the time, and he's like, hey.
What a life.
I know. And he's like, hey, this is the first time that we've realized there's a whole classification of slug or sea slug that's just been hiding as other creatures' eggs. So like when they stop disguising themselves, we can see that. But most of the time, they just look like a snail egg.
That's kind of fun. And then it's like, well, what other shit's pretending exactly. to be other shit? Yeah.
How long did it take us to figure out that like a leaf bug was an insect?
Which one of these animals is pretending to be a person? We can't know.
Oh, shit. Oh, God. Well, and then, so, of course, like my head goes from sea slugs to, like, okay, if there's maybe a giant sea slug, like, such as Loch Ness, could it disguise itself as something else from time to time?
Shamu, perhaps?
Perhaps. Like, does it die and then its bones actually look like a different creature? And we can't track the Loch Ness monster. If anybody can chip it, like, please, God, do that.
Chip it. Yeah, get a microchip in that bitch. Mm-hmm.
Just like a dart gun with a microchip. But I don't know. All of this was, like, really fun to dig into. And there is, of course, like, no answer except that there is no answer. And it's just been kind of like a reminder to me to like keep my mind open about everything, but not get like too crazy about specific beliefs.
Sure. We don't have to know. One of the joys of life is like not feeling the pressure to have the right answer.
It is truly very liberating to be like, this is fun to think about, but like, I really have no idea. Maybe.
Right.
Yeah.
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 I feel like that's this show.
It is this show. It is indeed. Because we can be open to fantastic possibilities while also being educated. And that is truly the important thing here is like, maybe don't run away with sort of some creationist bullshit ideology.
Yeah, don't make a museum to treat, you know, tell young kids that like the earth is only 40,000 years old. I'm adamantly against that.
I'm just saying allow science to influence your opinion.
Truly.
Truly. But do you have any questions, comments, concerns about Big Feet or river snakes, various slugs, yetis, anything?
Not questions, but it did just make me think kind of in like this sweet way, perhaps like as adults, like kind of chasing these things that feel fantastical and kind of rooting for them to be real is a way that you get to kind of hold on to, you know, the mythical creatures of childhood and storytelling that you kind of have to give up sometimes. And there's like something fun in the pursuit of like, could this thing that seems totally outlandish, you know, be real? Because, you know, maybe you gave up on unicorns a while ago or dragons or whatever it was. But yeah, I don't know. There's something kind of like fun and like childlike about it, but 100%. Not I don't mean that like in a diminutive way. Mm-mm. I mean it in like a childlike wonder kind of fun, endless possibilities way.
It does change the world to think like to go from the mentality of, okay, we know every animal that there is, everything's classified, like there's nothing left to explore, into thinking, what if there are entire species that have like these colonies that we have no idea about? Like, what if there is an alternative human being who has that we can't even see? Like, it makes, I'm stumbling so much, but it makes the world seem so much more magical, and like there are so many more possibilities. And it also is a way to like take your mind away from like society, because if there are these big feet out there living and surviving and like being okay in nature, that changes like the way that I think about the world, if that's true.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
I'm with
it's just
that.
A different reality, and it can be fun. Just don't get too crazy. Don't devote your life to it.
Don't get crazy.
Yeah.
But don't get crazy.
All right, so as we do, I would like to cue the vibraphone and pivot into a verbal game.
Oh, yeah, cue it.
So this is pretty straightforward. I have two questions for you, maybe two and a half.
Okay.
Would you rather marry someone who thought all cryptids and any woo-woo pseudoscience stuff was absolute trash and a waste of time and thought that it was so annoying? Or would you rather marry someone who had a bachelor's degree in Bigfoot studies?
Bachelor's in Bigfoot, no question. This person, listen, I like to entertain, and this person would be like great conversation at all of my dinner parties. And also, I think this harkens back to a very early Marry, Fuck, Kill we may have done about people who like really subscribe to, I think it was maybe astrology and or Myers-Briggs, or the person who thinks that everything's bullshit. And I just like don't want to be around people who don't think, like, aren't open to like the possibilities.
Please be open to wonder. Possibilities, right? Was an incredible restaurant in Florida.
I've never eaten there.
It was surprisingly great. My great-grandmother was friends with the owner. I refused to go for years because I thought it was going to be like a bullshit chain, but then it ended up being just like an unfortunately named, very cute, very authentic little Italian restaurant with the sweetest owners who were amazing cooks, and they sat with us because they were friends with my great-grandma, and I was like, why have I not been eating here with you? This has been, I can't believe I put it off. Anyway, I'm not here to continue to talk about possibilities.
You know, we can't talk about possibilities. Would you choose the same thing, or would you go different?
I would definitely choose the same thing. I don't think I could even be around someone who was like so closed off to anything magical or like woo-woo at all. Because even if those things aren't true, like, what's it to you if I believe in it? Like, yeah, right? Sorry, it's
what's
annoying.
What's your problem, buddy? Well, I want to give you a Marry, Fuck, Kill on this note.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
Marry, Fuck, Kill, Bigfoot, the Yeti, Loch Ness. Now consider all of their natural habitats.
Correct.
Bigfoot, you're in the woods. The Yeti, you're like, it's cold there. You're probably wearing a lot of furs. Loch Ness, you live in water. I just want you to be aware of like your surroundings, what country you're in, who's being chased or photographed the most, like who has the largest paparazzi following, just all the things.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
what are the moves?
I guess I would say, like, first considering, like, location and like what environment am I in. It is fun to think about in sort of like a Sandy in SpongeBob kind of way, to think about myself in some kind of a diving suit, just like making a life with Nessie.
I think we underestimate how funny the creators of SpongeBob having a squirrel like live in a spacesuit under a dome in the show SpongeBob was. Like,
I
that
love
was
it.
Funny.
I know.
It's good.
Some strong choices on that show. But so I could do that, but I have like a really intense fear of water at night, despite like really loving the ocean. And so I think that like even thinking about living in the loch makes me have like a cold shiver run through my spine.
Ooh, okay.
And just weather wise, I don't want to live in Scotland. And I would say the Yeti's environment is going to be like really cold and uncomfortable. Bigfoot definitely has like the best living situation. I would go like Northern California forest, like definitely.
A little Pacific Northwest vibe, sure, yeah.
As far as sexual attraction, I would say ranking them.
Yep, let's rank these sexually, okay. Go ahead.
I am the least attracted to the Loch Ness Monster. Because just from maybe being the furthest away from humanoid, then I think that I am the most sexually attracted to the Yeti. They have similar body type and even facial features, I think, to the Bigfoot. But I think Bigfoot just, he's too mainstream for me or something. He's like
Bigfoot's
the,
too mainstream
he's like the,
for
the
you.
Frat boy of the group or something. Like,
oh, he's
Yeti.
Wearing banties, a bands he's never heard of, Bigfoot,
exactly.
You asshole.
Exactly. And maybe he's like a little bit of a ham because he's like been sighted the most and I don't know.
But he could. He's very elusive. That Yeti.
The Yeti is very elusive. While I would not want to live in the frozen tundra, I don't know. The Yeti's fur seems more appealing.
You have a coat that looks like a Yeti.
I could wear that and we could be a power couple in the mountains.
Oh, yeah. You might get attacked by if he had like brethren or a tribe, though. They'd be worried you skinned one of them, one of their own.
I would need to be careful about that and explain to them about synthetic furs. So I think I'm going to marry. Shit. I don't want to live in the fucking frozen tundra. I will marry Bigfoot for for the lifestyle it provides me.
For the lifestyle. I'm going to marry Bigfoot for the lifestyle.
And I will fuck the Yeti because I want to. And then unfortunately, I have to kill the Loch Ness Monster, which feels horrible. Oh. But
how do you do it? You just poison the lake?
No, because I would want to, even though I would feel bad about it, I think that the only way to do its death justice would be to also gather the remains to prove its existence. So
sure.
I think that like I would have to figure out how to kind of like harpoon and then have like a net, the scoop.
Oh, wow.
It would be many men with me on a boat and we're figuring this
out. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Many men on a boat. Mm-hmm. That's what all the kids are doing these days.
Before I head back to Northern California to see my husband, yes. Or I guess there are female big feet. We learned about Patty and Patty, oversized breasts. Actually,
apparently your tits are huge, yeah.
So before I see Patty, I guess I have to gather the bones of the Loch Ness Monster and tell the world. That's
Scotland
my choice.
Scotland would be a fun little trip. I like Scotland. Nice people there.
What would you do?
I don't know. So part of me, like in a fantastical way, is like, Bigfoot seems like the most humanoid sexual experience.
Probably,
so
yeah.
You could argue that, like, similar. It could be, yeah, similar. But like, there's this part of me that I'm like, but could it be just like an experience you could like never explain to like have sex with the Loch Ness Monster?
Oh, just like, yeah.
I mean, just like getting fucked by a sea worm. I don't know.
And are you under the water?
I mean, we can't know, like, what's happening to me. It also seems, like, oddly terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't want to, like, the thing that's so terrifying about the Loch Ness Monster and, like, being involved with it, like, sexually or, like, in a relationship is just that you lose a lot of your abilities once you're in water. And so, like, that makes it a totally different thing than the Yeti or Bigfoot.
A little bit more helpless. I see.
Yeah, you're kind of at the whim of Ness.
The glamour of the Yeti, which harkens me back to, I feel like, a fact I threw out on a random episode about how cold is like
associated with
luxury.
Wealth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was like, man, that Yeti seems like we'd be like chillin'.
It'd be bougie. It'd be a vodka slide of ice.
Yeah, I think maybe I'd like to marry the Yeti. I'm open to cold. I'm like into just like the apparel that they could go with that, and like,
and
just
Patty
my
and
like
I could
fluffy white husband. Yeah. We'd be like kind of compatible that way. And I think just from like a research standpoint of like, you know, when people are like, I was like abducted and fucked by an alien and then returned to Earth. I'd like to be like that person who is like, I have had sex with the Loch Ness Monster. Like, I want to be that woman who's like, no, I was fucked by the Loch Ness. Yep. Yeah. And then, I kill your husband. Sorry.
Whoops. Well, I guess we're not coming over.
I guess I'm not coming over. Somebody's dead. Which then ends up like, I'm with the Yeti, but you had sex with my husband. And then.
Yeah, so that's
or wife.
Tough.
We can't know. My gender neutral. My Yeti. You had sex with my Yeti. And in retaliation, I killed your Bigfoot.
I know. R.I.P. Mm. And I've killed the Loch Ness Monster, and so now two creatures are slain. Yeah.
That's sad. The Yeti survives. Truly, that was a bracket challenge.
Oh, so the Yeti won. Survives. Wow.
The Yeti won.
Okay.
Wow.
Well, if you'd like to tell us about which cryptids you'd like to have sex with, we would love to know. And
if you've had sex with like a sea monster, I write in immediately.
And as a follow-up, I think I may, just to follow up next time, I may look up into if anyone has claimed to have had sex with the Loch Ness Monster and then let you know about
look
that.
Into that.
I definitely want to look into that.
I feel like somebody's got to. Like, that's got to be almost as commonplace as people claiming to be Anastasia.
It's at least a fanfic.
Oh, No question. Minimum, there's been fan fiction. Yeah. Well, on that note, if you'd like to send us your fan fiction, you can do so by getting at us on the internet. As always, you can find us via email at whyyoulikethispod@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at whyyoulikethispod, or you can find us on Twitter at WAYLTTweets. And thank you. Good morning, good day, good night. And I don't know, be careful around the edges of big bodies of water. And that's all we got to say.
Yeah, for sure. Good night.
Bye.